I'm excited for you to join us on a journey that will begin shortly. It's an exciting journey that I believe God is going to use in a powerful way in each of our lives. I hope, whether you're online at Christ Wesleyan Milton or Sunbury, that you'll join us because I believe it'll be a difference maker in each of your lives. Bible engagement is the single greatest predictor of spiritual success. Yet for a lot of people, the two biggest barriers are that the Bible is too big and they don't know where to start. Over the next year at Christ Wesleyan, our whole church will be on an incredible journey through scripture using a book called Core 52 by Mark Moore. This study is designed to help you develop a closer relationship with God and gain a greater understanding of the Bible by mastering 52 of its most influential passages. This is not your typical sermon series. Each Sunday, you'll hear a message on a core concept to help you become more confident in your biblical knowledge.
But this study goes beyond Sunday. If you can carve out 15 minutes a day for 5 days a week, you'll maximize your biblical knowledge base. Using the Core 52 book as a guide, you'll dive into scripture, memorize a core verse, and be challenged to take practical steps with what you've learned. On our Core 52 page on the website, you'll find even more resources such as videos and scripture memorization tools.
Now, that may seem like a lot of work, but you won't be doing this alone. Life change happens best in the context of community. To get the most out of Core 52, you need to be in a core group. Together in core groups, we can encourage and challenge each other to grow into the people God created us to be. Core groups meet weekly to discuss the Sunday morning message and the weekly study materials. In a group, you'll find yourself stimulated by group discussion to take your study even further, build lasting relationships, and encourage and support others throughout the series. I've been in a small group for 5 years. I know this to be true. While some groups will meet on campus at our Sunbury and Milton locations, most core groups will meet in homes throughout the community, giving you the opportunity to connect with others as you go through the study together. Visit the website to find a group that meets near you to get connected.
Even our kids and youth will be experiencing the Core 52 journey. Sunday morning in Kidsway, kids from kindergarten through fifth grade will be following along with Core 52 study in a way that will make the stories of the Bible come alive. Kids will also explore the weekly memory verse through journaling.
Teens will also be working their way through the study both during the Sunday morning large group meeting and in the smaller breakout groups.
Families are encouraged to grow and learn together, discussing the weekly study.
By creating conversations, memorizing scripture verses together, and finding ways to apply these core values as a family, these weeks are going to have an incredible impact on you as you draw together studying God's Word.
We're so excited for this next year at Christ Wesleyan. The journey through Core 52 begins on September 15th. If you have any questions or would like to connect to a core group, visit cwc.life/core52. We know that the Word of God is powerful, and as we gather around this study, investing our time building our biblical knowledge, we'll know that God will work profoundly in our lives, our families, our church, and our community. Thank you. We're excited that you might join with us.
If you didn't get the idea, we're pretty excited about Core 52 and what it's going to do for us in the coming year. It's 52 weeks that we'll be working on it. We will take a little bit of a break for our Christmas season. But otherwise, we're staying right on track with the way the book is written and what we will be seeing as we're walking through that. The great importance of working through that, you'll hear a sermon on Sunday, and then the following week, you'll see reinforcement of that that will help you to be able to kind of cement it into your life. We have books that are available there. There's a book station right outside here and right out those doors and down at the well. So all three locations have an opportunity. The books are $8. You may ask, do I need one of these for both adults or whatever? And I would say it just depends on how you work through things. I particularly like to write in things and kind of underline and highlight. And so I would particularly like my own. And so I think my wife feels exactly the same way because she does the same kind of thing. So you can kind of decide what you would like to do. Certainly, we will be experiencing some exciting things. You'll be memorizing a verse of scripture every week. And some of you are going, oh, I can't do that. And so how many of you know your phone number? Hello? It's called memory. And actually, you know, they always tell you learning something new stimulates your prefrontal cortex. So you want to stimulate this as much as possible. And this will help you. So we're excited about working through that and what that can do as well. And so it's been, I really feel, a great thing. There are about four or five other churches who are going to be walking through this with us. And we are also excited. They're not necessarily starting other Wesleyan churches. There are other churches. I've been told by the author, Mark Moore, that there are five other large churches across the nation who are also starting in January. We're going to be kind of having a jump on because we start September 15th. Next Sunday, the 8th, I'll walk you through the website, walk you through everything, give you an introduction. So that should help you, like if you're feeling like, whoa, this is so much information coming at me. Well, you'll feel much more comfortable at that point. And I'm really looking forward to that. We have been hitting on this pretty hard the last couple weeks. If you'd like to be a leader or a host, you would just send a text message to 570-273-0088 and write Core 52 in the message. If you do that, immediately you'll get a response that comes back to you. You then click on this blue, and then it'll give you the application. So that if you want to be a leader or a host. Now, a leader does not mean that you're going to preach to those people. So if you've been waiting for that opportunity, forget it. Nobody's coming to your group. But what it means is you're going to be a facilitator. So we're going to give you the questions. We're going to help you to know what to do and how to handle it. And all you would do then is kind of help facilitate that time period. We'll give you a couple other resources that you'll work through. If you're going to be a host, you have like kind of the gift of hospitality. You'd make people feel comfortable, welcome them into your home. Or if you're doing a group on Wednesday night, for example, here on campus, then you'd have a small group, you'd have a room where you would do that, and maybe your children could be in the Kids Way program, because that's available also. So that's another option that could happen. And so if you would say, oh, but I don't do technology, I did that better this service than last service, I won't even tell you what I did. If you say, I don't do technology, then what you can do is you can get a paper right outside and fill it out that way because it's right there for you. And so that's not a problem. We also would like to sign up people today for groups. So if you're saying, I would like to be a part of a group. I don't exactly know, you know, what that means and whatever, but maybe I'm not necessarily connected to a group of people yet at Christ Wesleyan. Maybe I've never been in a small group. Maybe you're just saying, yeah, this is a great opportunity to start. Then what you would do, same number, 570-273-0088, you can text just the word group. You send group to us, and immediately you're going to get this message that will say, you'll now receive communications from Christ Wesleyan, message and data. So they'll be in touch. We're going to try to help connect you to a specific group that might be something exactly that you would like to be a part of, and you could be able to work together. So that's to help you. Now, once again, if you say, I don't do technology, then we have that out in the foyer so we can make sure that you can stop there and get a copy and then let them know that you'd like to be a part of a group. They will then help facilitate that and make that happen as well. So we're excited. The very best part of growing is going to happen in a group. And so that's why we'd really encourage you to make sure you would say, yes, I want to be a part, because that's going to be the strongest way. Let me just give a kind of a plug in that sense. Because we're a large church, it's really hard to be able to provide all the care needs that each of us experience. And so if you are needing spiritual support, as in from some other people, you're needing a physical kind of support and care, we do our best to be able to visit you at the hospital or have a Stephen minister who can kind of walk with you through crisis, but we can't be there for you like a small group could. Small group can be that those group of people that could make a meal when you're sick or when you're not able to do it. They could be that group of people that would care for you and be there to listen and to respond, walk through that with you. So we would really encourage that importance of being a part of a small group, because that's going to be the best way. I always like to say, you know, sometimes people will say, you know, do they do meals? And like, we'd like to have meals because we're going through something. And I always say, like, we'd love to, but, you know, there's just not a meal maker in our cafeteria where we just push the button and food flies out to your house. We don't have that kind of button, and we don't have that kind of situation. But in a group, you'd have that kind of care, that kind of responsibility. So if you know somebody who would like to be a part, maybe you have people in your group that aren't a part of Christ Wesleyan, that's great. They don't need to be here. If you have friends who are in another church or in a small group or whatever, and you'd like to get them a book, we got extra so we could be able to share and kind of reach our broader community. We're happy to do that as well. I put it up on my Facebook, and my cousin responded, and he said, I'd like a book, and he lives in North Carolina. And I said, oh, great. So I said, I'll send it to you. So I'm sending him a book. And I said, maybe you'd like to watch online to follow the sermons. And he goes, yeah, I would love that. So we've not been that close before this, but suddenly we have a connection. And so it's a great opportunity. So maybe there are those in your life as well. So pretty excited about what it can do. You'll find lots more information, answers to questions on our website. You'll see that's one of the primary pages that comes up. Just click on that and you'll be able to see. We're talking today and continuing our final message of really from Malachi. I know, I just really struggle not to say Malachi, the Italian prophet. I've really, every time I've said it so often that it just goes through my head. And it actually looks so much more like Malachi than it does Malachi. I had an Italian tell me after first service, thank you, I would have gonna say amen at that point. So anyway, but we're talking about God's wake-up call and what that means and how God wants to work in each of our lives. This particular one is talking about who cares? God, he's the one who does, because God's faithfulness matters. God's faithfulness matters. Here's what he said in Scripture in chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word and for your truth. Help us to hear your voice today, not mine. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Amazing, as we look at this particular passage and we look at Scripture, Malachi prophesied around 450 B.C., in Israel. He was one of the last inspired prophets just before there were 400 years of silence. So God didn't speak through a prophet for 400 years until the birth of Christ, and that's when we see that. The Israelites had returned from Babylonian exile. Jerusalem had been rebuilt, and the temple was restored. But the people had not learned their lessons from the exile. Because here's what happened. Here's the description of who they were. They'd grown skeptical of God's love. They'd grown careless in their worship, indifferent to truth, disobedient to the covenant, faithless in their marriages, and stingy in their offerings. Now, when you hear all of that, You have to be able to say, wow, that is so much like what is happening in our present world. It's so applicable because it really, if I just read that and didn't say it was in the Old Testament, you'd go, wow, that's a description of our present day church. It really is. And so the fact is that that tells us how much God's word from Old Testament is still so valid for each of us today. As we would look at it, you might ask the question, what difference does it make in our lives if we follow God? Sometimes you look around you and you look at people who aren't following God and you think, like, wow, life seems good for them. Like, things work out for them. Life, they're healthy and things are, they got the new job and all of these things. They have a nice car and home and whatever. Like, so what difference does it make in my life if I'm going to follow God or not? Because I don't seem to see anything that's happening. This is what they were saying. This is the question that was coming right at that point. And that's why we see this. A TV news cameraman was on assignment in South Florida filming the widespread destruction of Hurricane Andrew. In one scene, amid the destruction, devastation, and debris, stood one house on its foundation. Sir, why is your house the only one in the entire neighborhood that is standing? Asked the reporter. How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane? I built this house myself, the man replied. I also built it according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I was told that a house built according to code could withstand a hurricane. I did it, and it did. I suppose no one else around followed the code. I want to tell you, God's word is our code. And God is calling us, his people, to follow his code. And when we follow his code, it works. Now, you may not see all the direct results of everything that you're praying for or everything that you're waiting for, but let me tell you, following his code works. You can break the Ten Commandments, but in reality, they're going to break you. Because I was designed by a master designer to follow the code. And when I follow the code, I get maximum in life and afterlife. All that he has designed and prepared for me. The fact is, scripture said it this way, and this is what they said. You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? You see, God was aware of their whining and their complaining. He was aware of that. And I want to tell you that whenever we look at scripture and we look at anything at all, God's not real pleased with complainers and whiners. You just see it. There's a curse that comes with it. And we need to realize, you see, it's like this. God says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, right? All things. Now, how many things does that mean? All. Oh, okay. All. Good one. Only a third of you got that. How many things does that mean? Okay, more of you caught on. You're getting it. The fact is, that means nothing comes to my life except that it comes through God's hand first. Even when it's not good in my mind, even when it doesn't look good, even when it doesn't feel good, it is for good. And so I have to just come to that point. I can't whine and complain about it and say, Nothing ever works out for me. I do all the right things, and look what happens, and their life is so much better, and look what they got. That's whining and complaining. I have to say, Lord, I don't understand this, and it doesn't even make sense to me, but I trust you. Because I know you know better than I what's good for me. And if I trust you, you're going to work all the things for good. And so you're going to do the best for me. And that's exactly what he says. And that's why it's so important. God said to them, you've said terrible things about me. You've said terrible things. When you're whining and complaining about what happens in your life, what you get or don't get, then you're saying terrible things. And I want you to understand that. The fact is, all through Malachi, seven different times, he's brought up these issues to them. And he said, here's your problem. And they said, when did we do that? Every time, instead of admitting and saying, you're right, Lord, you're right. They said, when did we do that? They deny it. They don't even acknowledge and own responsibility for their action. Huh, boy, is that present-day culture or what? Nobody wants to own responsibility for their own action. They always want to blame somebody else or whine and complain about it. The fact is, he says, but you say, what do you mean? Well, what have we said against you? As if they hadn't, as if they weren't aware of what they had done. You see, their faith had become a drudgery. We have to do this. We have to go to church. We have to read our Bible. We have to be a good witness. We have to give. We have to serve. We have to. It had become a drudgery. They weren't saying, we get to. We get to go to church. We get to be able to serve. We get to make a difference. You know, I've heard several testimonies this week have been really encouraging because they said, you know, hearing your message on giving, the Lord really prompted my heart, and we started a whole new level of making a difference. In fact, one young man was telling me that I got a promotion and an increase financially, and I kept saying, oh, I need to change. He does online giving. I need to change that. And then the message was like, I'm doing it right now. Boom. And he said, and the next day I found out that like two different things where God just overwhelmingly blessed their lives. And he said, it happened. Yeah. It was no longer a drudgery. It was a joy. They saw no benefit in serving God. Their judgment of all the things was only seeing the present and the direct results. You see, if I don't get something right now, then what's the use of doing this? Like, that immediate gratification was so significant. They couldn't just imagine God still working even when I don't see it. The fact is, he said, you have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we'll call the arrogant blessed, for those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Very, very sad. You see, they had lost sight that there is more to this life. There is more to this life than this life. There's more to this life than this life, folks. This isn't the end. If it were, you could be depressed. I'd give you permission. Just go ahead and be depressed, because if this is all we have, like, wow. But it's not. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to be. God has such great things ahead. You see, God has many promises that await us. Lots. And he has prepared that for those who love him and those who fear him, those who revere him. He's got it all waiting for us. And he wants to be able to give that to us. He wants us to see that. You see, I love this in Hebrews, and this is New Testament, Hebrews 11. It's called the faith chapter. Here's what he said. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. In other words, God gave them a promise. They didn't see the results. But even death couldn't rob them of faith. They believed, even though they weren't able to see the answers, they still believed. Because it says they did not receive what was promised. They didn't get to see it. But they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They looked off by faith. I know because God has promised. I know because God has promised he's going to do it. Because he's promised me, he's given me that, I'm holding on to that by faith. Do I see it? No, I don't. But I believe God, and I believe his promises, and I'm trusting him for those results. And that's exactly what they were doing. He says, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads. This is not where we live forever. Don't get so comfortable in your homes. God has a far better home for us. It's far better than anything we have here. He says they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen? That's exactly what God has for us. And so we'd say, yes, this is not the end, folks. This is not the end. God has so much more for us. And that's why I have to look at his promises and claim those and believe those and trust him for what he is doing. You see, God is faithful and his promises are for those who, for us who fear his name. Now, I can put in this place of the word fear, because sometimes that means people think scared, but I can put revere, because that's really what it means when we look at this. And that's when he says, but for you who revere my name, for you who really see who I am, I want you to understand. You see, God promises the rising sun. And he capitalizes this because it's Jesus. The sun will bring light where darkness exists. No matter where you feel darkness, the light of Christ is greater. And that's what you have to keep looking at. He will bring security where danger exists, because my hope and trust is in him, not in things of this world. He says, the Son of Righteousness will rise. God promises the beams of righteousness will shine. You see, Jesus will make all things right. It's not now. It's not immediate. It's not just happening today. But I want to tell you, there's going to come a time when he's going to make all things right. And you think, oh, well, this doesn't seem fair today. No, it may not. But I want to tell you, there's going to come a time when all things will be made right. And that's when Jesus is going to. God is withholding his judgment. He's withholding it now. I mean, realistically, I'm not encouraging you to do this, but you could go out in the middle of the parking lot and curse God and ask him to strike you dead if he really exists. Now, I don't think you should do that. So, but I am saying this. In all probability, you could go out and do this and nothing would happen to you. Nothing would happen to you. But I want to say there's going to come a time when God's judgment will come. And it will happen. And it may not seem like it's immediate, but it'll come, and he'll make all things right. You see, because the Son of Righteousness will rise. We also know God's promises are healing in his wings. There's a time coming where all sickness, all pain, all sorrow, and all crying will be gone forever. It's coming. You may have pain today. You may have pain right now. But I want to tell you, there's going to come a time when we have new bodies and they don't have pain in them. They're not wired for anything like that at all. They're just glorified bodies and they're wired for all good. We see this human body that we have, we experience all these things. But there's coming a time when we won't. We have so much ahead prepared for us. And that's why he says, with healing in his wings. I don't know why some people are healed and some people aren't. I don't know why. I mean, like, if I were the one making these choices, it'd be simple for me. All the nice people would be healed. All the not nice people wouldn't. See? If you'd be nice, you could be on this. That's how I would do it. But obviously, I don't have the mind of God. Certainly not that smart at all. Because I know I just have to trust him. Because he knows better what's needed for me and those I love than I do. The fact is, God promises freedom for all. You see, he says, New Testament, the truth will set us free. So the more truth, more honesty, the more it is, the more freedom. It's that simple. When we kind of sit on a lie, we're not going to experience freedom because it's truth. And he says, and you will go free. That's the promises he's bringing. You see, he promises joy as we follow him. You know, there's a joy that he brings that's present day, and a joy that he brings that's eternal, a joy that's spiritual, that's not necessarily always that things are great, but somehow deep inside I can feel joy even when I'm sad. You have to know God to know what that's like. But if you do, you can experience that even when things are hard or difficult. And that's what he says. He says, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. That's the kind of joy and excitement that he promises us. So what will your decision be? A fictional tale is told in management seminars about a young manager who was asked to replace a retiring executive. The younger man approached the older, venerated leader and said, "Sir, I know of the legend that you have become as a leader in the company. Could you give me some advice as I try to fill your shoes?" The older man pondered the question and responded, three words, "Make good decisions." "That's good advice," the young man replied as he wrote this down. "And what is the key to making good decisions?" "One word," the veteran executive replied, "experience." "And how do I get this?" the eager young man asked as he scribbled experience on his paper. "Two words," the retiring man answered, "bad decisions." Richard Petty, an Ohio State University psychologist, estimates that each of us is faced with hundreds of decisions each day. They range from trivial, Italian or Mexican for lunch, to morale, our moral, good from evil, to priority, best from better. In these decisions, we make good decisions. Why? Because we are the sum total of all our decisions. Let me say again, we are the sum total of all our decisions. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. Mary Kay Ash said, "Be careful of the choices you make today. They will become your lifestyle tomorrow." Your decisions that you make will make you. You are the sum total of all of your decisions. Becomes very important what decisions that we make. So what will your decision be? Will you choose to suffer God's judgment? It's a choice on our part. God doesn't just unmercifully or relentlessly pour out judgment on us. We make a choice of what we're going to receive. And that's why Scripture says it this way. The Lord of Heaven's armies says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace on that day. The arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. There is judgment. There is judgment that's coming. He says also, look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. All through Scripture, God is very clear in saying that his judgment is coming. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It may not happen today, tomorrow. It could, but his judgment is going to come. We see that all the way through Scripture. So will you choose to serve him? That's the choice that each of us makes. And that's the choice and responsibility that's on our part. Because it says, but for you who fear my name. Yeah, I mean, if we revere the name of God, we're making a choice. We're making a decision. And that's why it's so important. Will you choose to revere God? And when we think about that, we think about, but for you who fear my name or revere my name, what is it like? The fact is, I think in many times we've become way too casual in our reverence for God. Way too casual in even how we refer to God. Now, when you think about it, we have to think about the fact that he is the Lord of hosts. He is the Most High God. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is almighty. He is holy, holy, holy. He is glorious. As we look at that, we certainly have to realize who I'm talking to. When I look up into the heavens and I see the expanse of who God is, I have to go, wow, because we serve an almighty God. Will you choose to be rewarded by God? You know, God loves to reward his children. He loves to reward his children. And that's what he wants to do. But he asks us to live in such a way where that reward can be poured out on us, because that's what he wants to do. He said, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. And here's what they said as they said that, and we see God's word. First, God listens. He listens to everything that comes out from his children. Let me tell you that God cares about everything that you say, everything that's on your heart, every burden that you carry, everything that is there. God listens. To think that the creator of the universe, the one who's designed and created all things, to think he listens to me. Wow, that's an incredible thing. He said, the scripture says, and the Lord listened to what they said. Yes, God listens to us. He hears you. He hears your cry when you're struggling. He hears the pain that you're going through. He knows what you are facing. God listens. He also remembers. Do you know nothing that you're going through, nothing that you're facing is beyond what God remembers? The scripture says it, in his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about honor of his name. Do you know the scripture says that God stores up our tears? When your heart is breaking and there's something that you are trusting God for, he remembers. We don't have to remind God. He remembers. He knows. He has stored up your prayers. He has stored up the cries of your heart. He knows exactly what the need is for you. God remembers. and God claims us. What an incredible thing. He said, they will be my people. God claims us. You know, you may be feeling like you're not important to anybody, but you're important to the most important person in the whole world because God claims us. He cares about us. He wants us to know that He claims us. And even more, He treasures us. You may not feel treasured. Maybe you don't feel that special. But let me tell you what. God's word says you are a special treasure. You're a special treasure to God. What else could matter? What could be more important? On that day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. Wow. Just think that we could be God's special treasure. That has to create, like, in your own mind, like, wow. In fact, why don't you say it? I'll say it again, God's special treasure, and then you can just say that, because I think you want to, right? Just think, we are God's own special treasure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing to think He would love us that much in spite of who we are, in spite of what I've done, in spite of what's a part of my life. We're God's special treasure. What a wonderful gift. And because of that, He spares us. You see, there's judgment that's coming on the earth, but He spares us because we are His special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He cares about us. That's how much God wants to work in each of our lives. Will you choose to remember God's commandments and His faithfulness? You see, He calls each one of us to be faithful and to be obedient. He tells us this not only here in Malachi when He says, remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, all the decrees, all the regulations that I gave on Mount Sinai for all Israel. So yes, I'm called to be obedient. But more than that, He repeats it in the New Testament. And He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus replied. So that's the first thing. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our own home with each of them. And then He says, we know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Yeah. He spares us. He loves us. He claims us. He treasures us. What an incredible message that God gives to each one of us.
Sing it together. Sing holy, holy, holy with us.
Merciful and mild.
persons.
God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Heavenly Father, forgive us for whining and complaining. Forgive us for not keeping your commandments. Forgive us for not worshiping you with the energy that is needed, for looking at our spiritual journey as drudgery. Help us to have that kind of joy, that kind of excitement, that, Father, we would be your special treasure, and you would want to work in each of our lives to reach the world around us and make a difference. What a joy it is to seek after you. We love you and we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. God bless and go with you.
Ah, ah.